In this section, we are going to talk about gene expression. Gene expression is what a cell would do if it wanted to understand some of the DNA and express potentially a protein out of the genetic code information. In gene expression, two key events will have to occur. First, the copying of the DNA into a Xerox copy of low fidelity, known as an RNA copy. This will be the job of transcription. And secondly, translation of that RNA into a protein. We will focus on transcription. As an overview of transcription, you can look at figure 1 of your chapter. On this figure, you have a double-stranded DNA. Notice how the first strand, shown as the top dark line, is 5 prime to the left, 3 prime to the right, and loops around, and the bottom strand has, of course, complementary and anti-parallel bases. In essence, the 3 prime end of that strand is across from the 5 prime end of that strand. DNA is composed of two different types of regions. An important region will correspond to book chapters, if you want. Indeed, if you think of genes as book chapters, you would understand that each book chapter has a story, has something that you could copy, that you could take home, study, and make something out of it. Certainly, genes are the same way. Genes have information that the cell can copy into an RNA and then translate into a product, a protein. Genes, however, books inside the library, do not form the entire library. You certainly need shelves, you certainly need personnel, and a lot of space to place all these books around. Well, that space around the books and is called for our DNA, spacer DNA. Most of our DNA is actually spacer DNA. This is DNA that does not contain information that would be expressed into a protein. It will be very important DNA to study for board-relevant points of gene regulation. However, in our gene expression story, we want to focus on what is shown to you here as either gene 1, gene 2, or gene 3. Each gene is going to be surrounded upstream, which is on the 5 prime side of the gene, by a promoter region. A promoter region is to be understood a little bit like the first page of a chapter that would tell you this is the beginning of the chapter. A terminator region is found downstream from the gene. Downstream from the gene signifies towards the 3 prime end of that gene. That terminator region is basically the last page of the book chapter. Certainly, therefore, you realize that in the process of gene expression, we will certainly, as usual, have a beginning, an origin, a starting point. Here, that's going to be significant of a promoter region in our DNA, a process of transcription, making the RNA, which will be the copying of anything that starts right after the promoter, which is the gene, and eventually a signal that tells us that the chapter is over, to stop the copying, to stop the transcribing, and this is the role of a terminator region. Genes are going to be independently expressed. Every cell will have the same number and same types of genes. However, not every cell will express those genes, certainly causing cells to be differentiated in expressing one gene versus another. Here in this diagram, we see 3 different genes that could be transcribed into 3 different protein products eventually. Gene 1 would be transcribed to an RNA that would be translated to one type of protein. Gene 2 would be transcribed and translated to a different protein. And gene 3 would be transcribed and translated to yet a third different proteins. There are many different types of RNA. If you refer back to your syllabus, you will see that you have a whole paragraph entitled Types of RNAs. RNA molecules are different because they play different roles in the cell. The major types of RNA that we will cover in gene expression are certainly first and foremost ribosomal RNAs. Ribosomal RNAs happen to be the most abundant type of RNA in a cell. ribosomal RNAs are going to be an important part of ribosomes, ribosomes being the structural components, the workbench on which the cell will be able to do translation. Translation being the work of making the protein. Transfer RNAs are going to be the second most abundant form of RNA in a cell. Transfer RNAs have as a function to carry the amino acids that we will use to make the protein, to translate the message into a protein. Finally, of course, a very important messenger RNA. Messenger RNAs will actually carry the information that specifies the amino acid sequence of a protein. The messenger RNA is what is as a copy of our DNA. It is that famous Xerox copy of the book chapter. Messenger RNAs could never be translated without the help of ribosomal RNA, tRNAs, and many other proteins and enzymes that we'll review in that section. There are other RNAs that you will have to become familiar with. They will be more relevant for eukaryotic cells. They are certainly not part of prokaryotic cells, which will generally be what we first describe and then only will try and compare to eukaryotic events. In eukaryotes, we will be talking about heterogeneous nuclear RNAs. Those are hnRNAs, also known as pre-messenger RNAs. There will be basically a rough copy of the gene that is not yet processed into the final messenger RNA. You will also have to be familiar with small nuclear RNAs. Small nuclear RNAs, or snRNAs, are only found in the nucleus of eukaryotes. Their major function will be in modifying the actual RNA, doing what is known as splicing. And finally, you will also see ribozymes. Ribozymes are RNA molecules that have enzymatic activity. Those ribozymes are actually found both in eukaryotes and prokaryotes. Before we go into the complex events of transcription, we will first focus on some important concepts and terminology. And in order to do so, we'll use figure 2 of that chapter. Figure 2 is entitled Transcription of DNA and will give you an overview of the DNA transcription event. What you see on this figure is a double-stranded parent DNA. The top strand here is blotched in black, 5 prime to the left, 3 prime to the right, and its parent strand complementary and antiparallel is simply the white block underneath it. Notice how the antiparallelism is shown to you here with the 5 prime end below the 3 prime end of the other strand and vice versa. On the left side of your figure, the 3 prime end of the white strand being under the 5 prime end of the black strand. We are right now looking, therefore, at a double-stranded DNA. This could be double-stranded DNA of a bacteria or of a human body, of a human cell. Certainly within that DNA, we would have areas known as promoters. Promoters will tell us where a gene is about to start. A promoter region is therefore an essential region for the cell. It is the marker that lets the cell know that beyond that promoter is a region of DNA that could potentially be copied because it contains information to make a key protein for that cell or for the organism that that cell is part of. Beyond a promoter region is the actual part that we would like to transcribe, that we would like to Xerox. And that transcribe area is known as a transcription unit. You see it written right above on your figure. A transcription unit will extend, therefore, from a start site and will eventually stop at the terminator site. A transcription unit will contain all the DNA bases that should be copied into an RNA molecule. There is a numbering system to look at these bases within transcription units and around transcription units. A start site is always given, by definition, a +1 number. Before a +1 number would be an area that is not to be transcribed, but that is very important, which is within the promoter. Bases before a +1 start are negatively numbered, with minus 10, for instance, being 10 letters, 10 bases, before the plus 1. Rather than say before a start site, we would rather say upstream from a start site. Upstream signifying that we are farther into the promoter before the plus 1 base, before the transcription unit. On the other hand, if we go into the transcription unit, bases are there numbered with positive signs in front of them, with plus 10 being the 10th letter after the start site. Going into the transcription unit is referred to as going downstream. Downstream means we're going towards the 3' end of this black strand. When RNA will be made, we know that RNA synthesis will be happening in the 5' to 3' direction. Certainly, it will need a template. That template is going to be the DNA strand, and the DNA strand is going to be, of course, read in a complementary and anti-parallel fashion. Certainly, therefore, imagine that we were interested in transcribing the white template on your diagram. The white template has its 5' end to the right and its 3' end to the left. Therefore, it would result that the RNA that would be synthesized based on that template would have to be complementary and anti-parallel to each of the bases of the transcription unit. The transcription unit starts at the base plus 1, right where the arrow is pointing, at the very end of your promoter, and the 5' end of the RNA would be the very first plus 1 base. The RNA would keep on being made, keep on being synthesized all the way until the terminator, and that would be marking the 3' end of the RNA. In other words, as it says in the box, the RNA transcript is synthesized in the 5' to 3' direction, the same way as we would make DNA during replication. It is also made complementary and anti-parallel to a template strand, here the white DNA template. The enzyme that makes RNA is simply called an RNA polymerase. Notice, unlike replication, RNA synthesis only uses one of the two strands of DNA as a template, here the white strand. Therefore, the black strand on our diagram is not used by the RNA polymerase. The black strand is referred to as the coding or anti-template strand. That coding strand is going to be very important for us to look at. Notice, a coding strand is complementary and anti-parallel to the white template. The RNA itself is complementary and anti-parallel to the same white template. Therefore, the base sequence in an RNA is identical to the base sequence in a coding strand. The only difference will be that instead of thymines, we will see uracil. You see this concept on your next figure. Figure number 3 shows you the flow of genetic information from DNA all the way to the protein. Therefore, it will give us there an overview not only of transcription, but of translation, the complete process of gene expression. The top portion of your figure shows two strands of DNA, a double-stranded DNA, both strands being complementary anti-parallel. The blue strand has its 5' end to the left, its 3' end to the right. The strands with no marking underneath it is the complementary and anti-parallel strand. Let's focus a little bit on that complementarity. The blue strand starts with ATG, reading in the 5' to 3' direction. Certainly, if you look at your template strand, therefore, across from the A, you see a T, which would be the 3' end of that template strand. Across from the T, you find the A. Across from a G, a C, etc. You know that you could therefore very easily write a template strand based on the coding strand that is given to you. One note. We have decided on that diagram to call the top strand coding, and therefore the other strand template. Do you always have to do it this way? The answer to this is absolutely not. If you wished, you could have used the top strand as a template, in which case the bottom strand would be the coding. In other words, the choice is arbitrary. The fact is, what you must always respect, whether it's a board question or here in the syllabus, is that whichever strand you call template is the one the RNA polymerase will use to do transcription. Whichever strand you call coding is the one that RNA polymerase will not use for transcription. And certainly a coding strand is always complementary anti-parallel to a template, and an RNA will always be complementary and anti-parallel to that same template. Well, if you go to your third line of genetic information, let's make the RNA. Based on the template, across the 3' end from that template to the left of it, we should find the 5' end of our RNA. This is because RNA, again, is anti-parallel to a template. Certainly across that T at the 3' end of the template, therefore we should find the complementary base A at the 5' end of our RNA. If we keep on going, across the A, we should find a U, not a T. Remember, this is RNA, therefore there would be no thymine. We should see a uracil. Across a C, we'll see a G, etc. All the way through, you can note for yourself that these letters are indeed complementary to the template strand and placed in an anti-parallel fashion. Notice, therefore, and compare the mRNA that was just produced by transcription of the template strand and the coding strand of DNA. If you look at the sequences, certainly the sequences of the messenger RNA on your third line are identical to the sequences of letters that you see on the coding strand on your first line, the only difference being the T's of the coding strands are U's in the RNA. Well, from this comes a major rule of molecular biology that you'll see applied on board questions. When DNA information is going to be given in questions, if there is no information as to whether it is a coding or a template strand, the boards will therefore assume that you will use that information as being that of a coding strand. Let me repeat this differently. If the boards wanted to give you template strand information, they would have to tell you that they are doing so. In other words, if they don't tell you it's a template, it's a coding. If there is no information, take for granted it's coding. And if you know coding DNA sequence, it is extremely easy to figure out what the messenger RNA would be, wouldn't it? Of course it would be, simply because an mRNA sequence is identical to a coding strand of DNA, except T's would be replaced by U's. Certainly, in some instances, the board might tell you this is a template strand. In that situation, you know that the RNA that you would have would be complementary and anti-parallel to this template. Now, let's go one step further and see that, of course, after we have transcribed our template DNA into an RNA, we will need to then go into translation of that RNA. You see this on the left-hand side of your figure. Translation of the messenger RNA into a protein will be based on understanding the messenger RNA triplet by triplet. Three letters will form a codon, and to each three letters we will associate an amino acid. The amino acids will be bound to one another into a protein. Notice that proteins, therefore, will have also a direction of translation, and the directions that will be followed will be based on reading the messenger RNA into our classical and conventional way of writing and understanding text, which is the 5' to 3' direction. In essence, in your diagram, an AUG codon would be associated with a methionine amino acid. Certainly, the AUG being at the 5' end of the messenger RNA, this will coincide to what is known as the amino terminus of the protein. The next codon, GGG, would be a glycine. Don't worry, you do not have to know that GGG would be a glycine. Certainly, you will be required to know that AUG is a methionine, but we will talk about this when we do translation. At the very end of the protein, the other end, we have a carboxyl terminus. And therefore, the direction of translation is certainly not 5' prime to 3'. Prime. There are no 5' prime and 3' prime ends to a protein. But there are amino and carboxy termini. And certainly, we will say that translation, therefore, occurs from the amino terminus to the C terminus. If we summarize that important slide as a review, we see that DNA is double-stranded. Only one of the strands will be used in transcription. That strand is known as the template strand. It is read by an RNA polymerase, synthesizing RNA in the 5' to 3' direction in a complementary and antiparallel fashion to the template. The DNA strand that is not used by the polymerase is known as a coding strand. This coding strand has the same sequence as an RNA molecule, except we would see T's instead of U's. Certainly, once we have transcribed our template into an RNA, then translation of the codons into a proteins would occur. That translation has also a direction from the amino terminus to the C terminus. Now, if you go back to your syllabus, after that flow of genetic information from DNA to protein, you have a series of sample questions. These sample questions are key examples of what classically has been shown on the boards. The problem has been divided in two separate sections. We will first look at section one, question number one. Question number one gives you a classical situation where it tells you that during RNA synthesis, in other words, transcription, the DNA template sequence, TAGC, would be transcribed to produce which of the following sequences? Certainly, you have five possible answers, and, you would hope to find the correct answer, obviously. Well, first thing you would want to note in that question as keywords. They give you here a sequence, TAGC, that is labeled as being a DNA template. As soon as you read this, you remember from your generalities of transcription that an RNA would be complementary and anti-parallel to a template. So certainly, you would first have this in mind. Secondly, you would notice that no numbering were given to you at the sequence TAGC. If no numbering is given to you, our first convention of molecular biology dictated that the left-hand side, the letter T, would have to be the 5' end of this template, making the letter C the 3' end of the template. Well, that means, simply put, that the RNA that would be complementary and anti-parallel to this template would start across from the C with a 5' G. Certainly, the next letter would be C, the next letter would be U, complementary to an A, and the final letter would be A, complementary antiparallel to the T. Notice, we would have written now underneath your TAGC of the sentence the actual sequence of the RNA in a complementary antiparallel fashion, and reading it appropriately from the 5' to 3' direction would be from right to left on your page as G, C, U, A. Well, now go to the answers, and when you look at the choices of answers, they also are devoid of numbers, certainly signifying to you, based on that first convention, that the left-hand side is the 5' end of these molecules as answers. Certainly, therefore, where you see letter E saying GCUA, this is your answer. GCUA is read 5' to 3' as an RNA molecule that would be complementary and antiparallel to TAGC, a template. One approach that you can do that is given to you here. In some instances, some of the answers may have T's. In our example, it is simplified, and you see that choices A, B, and C each have a T in the sequences. Because T's are not found in RNAs, you could easily cross those out and save yourself some time. Certainly, though, you see that classically, answers D and E are the same sequence written forward and backward. This is always the case on the boards, simply to try and confuse you with the issue of 5' to 3'. In order not to get mixed up, always write down your 5' ends and your 3' ends, even if they're not written on the answers. And remember that if numbers are not given, then the left-hand side of the molecule is the 5' end. Then the only thing you have to worry is whether you're dealing with templates or codings. In our question number 2, you see another situation, which is transcription of a sequence of the tryptophan operon. And it tells you that it occurs in the direction indicated by the arrow. In this question, they still want the sequence of a messenger RNA. Well, in that type of questions that the board may very well give you, you notice that the 2 strands of the parent DNA are given. This is a double-stranded DNA, with the top strand being 5' to the right, 3' to the left, and the bottom strand being complementary antiparallel with 5' to the left, 3' to the right. Very importantly, you wonder which one is template, which one is coding. Well, if a transcription direction is given to you here by the arrow, you must remember that transcription occurs in the 5' to 3' direction, essentially meaning that if you want, the letter T of the word transcription is the 5' end of an mRNA, and the tip of the arrow would be the 3' end. An RNA is complementary and antiparallel to a template. If the 5' end is represented on the left-hand side of the arrow, necessarily the template would have a 3' end on the left-hand side. It simply means, therefore, on your syllabus that the top strand of your double-stranded DNA represents the template. How would you find the RNA? You have 2 choices. Based on the template, you can do the hard work of making complementary anti-parallel bases and run the risk of making a mistake. Or, having identified the template as the top strand, you realize, therefore, that the bottom strand necessarily is the coding strand. Knowing that our second convention is the fact that coding strand has the same sequence as RNA, except T's would be used, your answer is written right under your eyes. That sequence, 5', G, C, G, G, C, G, A, etc. to 3', is your answer. If you turn your page, you find indeed that your answer is going to be that same coding strand.